Biblical Theology, Chapter 7, Hamartiology, Sin, Definition. Hamartiology comes from the Greek word harmatos, meaning sin. Hamartiology in Christian theology is the study of sin from a biblical perspective. The study includes biblical definitions of sin, the origin of sin, how sin was introduced into the world, man and the basic sin nature, the solution to the sin problem, the judgment and punishment of sin, and the removal of sin at the end of time. The definition of sin. Sin is defined as missing the mark of God's righteousness through transgression of his laws or rebellion against his rule. It is like shooting a weapon and missing the target. It is falling short of what you should be and of God's perfect plan for your life. The Bible clearly states that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. There is no one righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible uses several different words for sin. Wickedness. Wickedness means to have an evil mindset to do mischief. It is a mental disregard for righteousness, justice, truth, and virtue. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew chapter 13, verse 49. Transgression. Transgression means breaking the law. It is like a man stepping across a line over which he has no right to step, invading forbidden territory and crossing the boundary between right and wrong. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Unrighteousness. This word means injustice, wrong, iniquity, falsehood, and deceitfulness. All unrighteousness is sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. Ungodliness. Ungodliness means dishonesty, wickedness, and total disregard of God. It is treating God as if he did not exist. Ungodliness is not the same as atheism, which believes there is no God. Ungodliness is knowing there is a God, yet totally ignoring him and his laws. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Iniquity. Iniquity means to be lawless, either without the law or violating the law. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Disobedience. Disobedience is the opposite of obedience. It means to ignore God and his law. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Trespass. Trespass means to leave the right path and cross the boundary from right into wrong. It is like being on another man's property where you do not belong. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The origin of sin. Evil existed before man was created. Sin was originated by Lucifer, also known as Satan. The Bible records that Lucifer was a special angel who was originally created perfect by God. Lucifer sinned when he tried to stage a rebellion against God. Because of this sin, Lucifer was cast out of heaven to earth. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. I will cast thee to the ground. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 14 through 16. How sin was introduced into the world. On earth, Lucifer, who became known as Satan, continued his rebellion against God. When God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, Satan led them to sin against God. This rebellion is sometimes called the fall of man, meaning that men fell from righteousness into sin. Satan enters the scene on earth in Genesis chapter 3, appearing as a serpent, which is another name for him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He actually appeared in the shape and form of a serpent or snake. To fully understand the temptation, we must note God's initial instructions to man. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. The first step in Eve's fall into sin was being in the wrong place. In Genesis chapter 3, we find her near the forbidden tree. Proverbs states of the path of wickedness, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15. Second, Eve should never have entered into conversation with Satan, whose first words questioned the instructions given by God. "And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Questioning the truth of the Word of God is often how Satan starts the temptation process. In answering Satan, Eve misquoted God's Word. She added to God's instructions as well, and minimized the penalty for sin. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. Compare this verse with Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. God did not say, "Neither shall ye touch it." This is added by Eve. Right from the beginning, man started adding his ideas, instructions, and legalism to the Word of God. God also said, "Thou shalt surely die." This was the penalty for eating of the tree. Eve changed this to, "Lest ye die," meaning you might die. Today, there is the same tendency to minimize the penalty for sin. People say, "Surely a righteous God cannot send anyone to hell." Actually, God does not send anyone to hell. Man chooses to go there by his own sinful actions. The penalty for sin remains everlasting separation from the presence of God in hell. People often do not identify sin for what it is. Abortion is called a method of birth control instead of murder. Adulterous relationships are sometimes referred to as affairs. In answering Eve, Satan contradicted God's word. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. Satan wanted to alienate Eve from God. Satan claimed God knew she would receive great benefits from eating of this tree. She would be more knowledgeable and become like a god. In essence, he was saying, "God must not think much of you, Eve, to deny you this wonderful opportunity." Eve should have answered, "I am already like God," because she was created in God's image. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 describes the darkest moment in human history. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. To summarize, Eve was in the wrong place. She put herself in a place where she was likely to be tempted. Then she listened to the enemy, Satan. Next, she looked longingly upon that which God had forbidden. Then Eve proceeded to take and eat from the tree. She partook of that which God had labeled sin. The final result was that her sin affected Adam when she gave the fruit to him and he ate. When you sin, it usually affects those around you, and when they sin, they enter the same destructive cycle of sin. Results of sin. Immediate results of the fall into sin. Knowledge of good and evil. Immediately after the fall, Adam and Eve were no longer in a state of innocence. They recognized the difference between good and evil and realized they were naked and sinful. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Self-righteousness. Adam and Eve tried to make clothing from fig leaves, which is a type, an outward example, of what man tries to do spiritually. Realizing we are sinners, we think self-improvement will correct our sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. But our self-righteousness is as inadequate as the fig leaves were to cover Adam and Eve. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Fear and shame. When God came to walk and talk with Adam and Eve, they hid themselves in shame and fear. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Shame and fear are basic emotions from which all other negative emotional responses evolve. Separation from God. God did not remove himself from man's presence. Rather, it was man that removed himself from God. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. Specific judgments on the serpent. These included changed physical form. The physical form Satan used for the temptation was cursed. The serpent originally walked upright, but from this time on he wiggled on his belly through the dust. Enmity between Satan and man. This was the beginning of what we call spiritual warfare, with Satan struggling for the soul of man. This warfare continues to the present day. Harvest Time International Institute offers a course entitled Spiritual Strategies, a Manual of Spiritual Warfare, which focuses on the spiritual battle and provides strategies for victory over the enemy. A crushed head. The third penalty on the serpent is actually a promise to sinful man. Although Satan would bruise the heel of man spiritually through sin, the seed or descendant that would come from woman would crush the head of Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This was the first promise of a Savior for the sin of mankind. Although Satan would affect man through sin, a Savior would be sent by God through woman, and the power of sin would be crushed. The tragedy of sin came through the fall of a woman. Redemption would also come through a woman who would give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Specific judgments on Adam. These were labor a weariness. Prior to sin, Adam tended the ground in joyful ease, but now he must labor hard. The environment of the earth changed. The ground that was once fertile and without pests or weeds became filled with thorns and thistles. Death. The penalty of natural death was imposed on Adam. God said his body would return to the ground. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Spiritual death was also a penalty of sin. God said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Without forgiveness, man would die the spiritual death of eternal separation from God. Specific judgments on Eve. These were sorrow in childbirth. The curse of pain and sorrow was placed upon childbearing. Subjection. Eve would become subject to her husband. Penalties on both Adam and Eve. God removed Adam and Eve from the beautiful environment of the Garden of Eden to a world filled with sorrow, pain, thorns, and death. God warned Adam and Eve that the penalties of sin would include physical and spiritual death. Spiritual death was a loss of their relationship with God. Physical death was death of their physical bodies. The only bright spot in the entire chapter of Genesis 3 is the promise of the coming Redeemer who would crush the power of Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Man and the basic sin nature. Originally, man was created in the image of God. He was innocent and righteous. As the first human, he lived in a perfect environment, so therefore his sin did not result from his environment or because of his ancestors, factors which are often erroneously blamed for sin. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, however, sin and death were passed on to all men. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Everyone born inherits the basic nature of sin. His conscience, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. His will, Romans chapter 1, verse 28. His heart, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. His intellect, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and his total being have all been corrupted. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 29. Just as physical traits are inherited, the spiritual trait of the basic sin nature is inherited. Each person sins and faces the penalties of physical and spiritual death. Everyone inherits the basic sin nature, and each person sins individually when he is drawn by the sinful nature to rebel against God. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. All have sinned, but God has provided a way to escape the penalties of sin. Through repentance from dead works and accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you can be saved from the penalties of sin. See the doctrine of soteriology in this manual. The solution to the sin problem. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 14, verse 6. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 confirms, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the answer to the sin problem. He is the only way to God and the only way to be forgiven. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 declares, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Ultimately, sin separates people from God. Yet God has provided reconciliation and forgiveness of sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. The solution to the problem of sin is repentance and redemption through Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. The judgment and punishment of sin. All people deserve judgment for sin, yet Christ saves those who trust in him for eternal life and forgiveness of sins. John chapter 3, verse 16. Believers who sin may be judged by the Lord for corrective purposes, yet they do not lose their salvation each time they sin. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. Those who do not trust in Christ receive eternal punishment as their judgment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death are all punishments for sin, as are certain sufferings in this life. But beyond question, eternal death is the gravest punishment for sin imaginable, because there is no other opportunity for reconciliation with God, as it results in eternal separation from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Sin always has consequences for both the present life and the next. A believer cannot escape certain consequences and or discipline for his unconfessed sin, but this judgment does not revoke his salvation unless he totally turns his back against God. There are penalties connected with the believer's unconfessed sin, however. These include losing his joy and peace, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, becoming a spiritual hindrance to others, 1 John chapter 2, verse 10, hindering their prayers, 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 22, grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, feelings of shame at the Lord's return, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, losing fellowship with God and other believers, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, discipline from God for persistent sin, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, church discipline for certain sins, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, physical death as a result of certain sins, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. The remedy for the believer's sin is to confess and forsake it, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. The end of sin. Sin will continue to exist until the end of time as we know it, at which time judgment will occur and the curse of sin will be removed as God's children experience eternal joy in the presence of the Lord. Revelation chapter 21. Sin will no longer exist. Revelation chapter 22 verse 3 reveals that there no longer will be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him.